Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Well, good evening. I hope that you've enjoyed hearing the Christmas story from a different perspective tonight. That's been our goal. That's been our aim from the whole time that we've started planning the service. What different perspective can we find in this story that for many of us has become all too familiar? In some ways, this story has become so familiar that we're numb to it. We don't even really stop to even consider its power and its impact in our lives. And so on a night like tonight, I think it's fitting for us to just try to find a different way, a different lens to look at this familiar story of Christ being born. But it's really hard not to look at the familiar, isn't it? This happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was driving home late from the office, and it was dark, and I came through town, and everybody had their lights on. Don't you love Flushing in the winter time? I remember when we had accepted the call to come here, and I came to a December board meeting, drove from Grand Rapids over for this meeting, and driving back home, I decided that I wanted to go through town and not through the interstate and make it back to Byron Center in quicker time. I wanted to go through town, and I was struck. That was the year that the ice sculptures lined the main street, and I fell in love, and I thought, you know, this town reminds me a ton of my hometown. I grew up on the Wabash River in Indiana, so we had a main street with old buildings running right down the middle of it. Nice older homes that were kept up running right through the heart of town. You know, obviously a large bridge right in the side of town. And a train track. We had it all. And so I was driving through town this night, and I was captivated by the trees and the windows and the lights on the porches. And my mind went back 25 years ago or so, when I remember just walking into my uncle's house, which was the tradition in my family of every Christmas Eve. Every Christmas Eve was Christmas at the Booth house. The Booth family would gather. That's my mother's side of the family. And we would always gather for a meal. We'd share some gifts and just sit around and talk and catch up. And for the kids, it was pretty boring. And in my household, I had no cousins my age. So it was occupy yourself time. It was just try to keep yourself out of trouble time. You have children that have to face that sometimes over the holidays, right, kids? You're just got to keep yourself occupied. And it's Christmas Eve, and so you're anxious for tomorrow morning, and you want to get on with this, and would the guy just pray so we can go home, right? Well, my family, that side of the family, was really peculiar for me. I never really, still don't quite understand them, but we would go to Uncle Dick's house and his big tree and his big window, and we'd gather around this tree, and they loved to collect certain things, and they would always talk about the different finds that they would have. And no doubt that the aunt or the uncle that had my name for that year would give me almost every year an ornament off the tree. It was just a little stocking. And inside that stocking would be a silver bar. Because for them, for that side of the family, they loved to collect coins. They loved to collect all different kinds of rifles and glass. And they were just collectors. Every one of them had something that they were collecting all the time. So for them, they were wanting to invest in my future. They didn't want something fun that I could play with the rest of the night. Oh, no. We're going to give the 9-year-old a stocking with a piece of gold in it. And I'm always thinking, what am I going to do with this besides lose it, right? Can I go spend it? I mean, I always wondered, how am I going to respond when I get my little stocking this year? Oh, thank you so much for another set of gold coins that I can't use for anything. I appreciate it so much. And I was just always kind of tormented. My grandmother, I just would always look forward to hers. She had something typically fairly small, but she crocheted all the time. And so every Christmas we would get a brand new ornament that was crocheted with our name in it. And that was fun. That was exciting. One year, about 25 years ago or so, I remember getting a gift from my grandmother. My grandmother had been divorced longer than she had been married. She'd lived at home. And quite honestly, she loved to do those things together, gardening and crocheting. And that was kind of her life. But she didn't have a lot. Just a little one-bedroom apartment. And so anything that I got from her was just special. But this year is just extra special. As a matter of fact, the gift that she gave me that year, I still have. I haven't done much to it, quite honestly, because she left this world not too many years after that. That year, each of the grandkids unwrapped a photo album. Whew, a little step above a gold bar, all right? It was a photo album. We ripped open our photo albums and we looked at it and we thought, oh, I still can't play with it, but that's nice. And when you opened up this photo album, it would kind of open up and it would have four different sleeves. And at that point, it had no pictures in it except this. And it said, and the winning picture is Merry Christmas, Grandma Booth. And it said, pull. She had taken time to look at, find her favorite picture of her grandchildren and put that picture in our album. So when I pull, I can't believe I'm doing this. I see this picture, which you can't see because it's dark in here, but if you're interested, I'll show you afterwards, of a Halloween where I'm dressed up as a fireman. And I've got the big galoshes on and some big, you know, rain jacket on and a mask that didn't have anything to do with a firefighter and a fireman's hat. And I thought that was the coolest thing, and I would be humiliated to let my child wear this to a school Halloween costume contest. But that was her favorite picture of me. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. Thanks, Grandma. Later on that night, when I was trying to keep myself occupied, I pulled out just a little bit further. And behind this just a little bit further was a $5 bill. It wasn't pretty. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's still here. Now that I could spend right now, right? It's waddled up. It's been used quite a few times. But I'll never forget the feeling that my grandmother gave me something that she really didn't have. She didn't have a lot to give, but she found a bargain on some photo albums. And she cut up a picture of each one of her grandkids and she gave that away to us. And then, sacrificially, she put a $5 bill in every one of our photo albums. Now, I've received a lot of Christmas gifts over the years. Not as many as some of you, but I've received a lot of Christmas gifts. I could have used that $5 a long time ago. That $5 bill was worth, back then, $5. You know what it's worth today? You guys are quick. But it means more to me behind this little piece of plastic than it would ever mean to me buying five packs of football cards that I could have done back then, or a few candy bars, whatever I would have blown it on and forgotten about it. See, I think sometimes in the Christmas season, we get so caught up in the size and in the volume of the gifts that we really miss the sacrifice of those gifts. And when I think about this story, when I think about Christ coming, yeah, I can't get caught up in its size. Because, quite frankly, He was small. He was just a little baby. When I think about the coming of Christ, I can't get caught up in its power because He was helpless. He was weak. He was vulnerable. And I think as we read the Scriptures, we'll find out that He was cold. But the reality is, He came with great sacrifice. Jesus speaks of this type of sacrifice one day, right before He's betrayed. This is 33 years ahead of this nativity story. If we could flash forward from this moment, we'll see His last words. And He finds Himself near the temple, and He looks up in Luke chapter 21. He says these words, "I tell you the truth, watching a poor widow put in a very few copper coins into an offering plate that day, having just before then seen some very rich people put a lot of money in." He says, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow who put in just a few coins has put in more than all the others. All these people gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of their poverty, out of her poverty." The Message translation says, "She gave her all." I think he's looking at that story. He's looking at that scene of this widow woman giving everything she's got and saying, guys, that's what I've done for you. I've given you and I'm about to surrender everything I've got for you. It's not about the size. It's not about the volume. It's about the sacrifice. And I believe with all of my heart that the character of God is seen most clearly in sacrificial giving. Just think about this manger scene in Bethlehem. 2,000 years ago, the gift is given of a child. The Almighty God, the all-powerful, omnipotent God, gave us His Son. Scriptures say, it's very familiar to most of us, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His Son. Not in chariots, not fully grown, ready to conquer, but in a baby. A baby that needed cared for. A baby that needed watched over. Helpless. Our God, against all odds, sent His Son for us. Tonight we would like to give you Jesus all over again. For centuries before Jesus was born, the people of Israel, God's chosen people at that time, had been marking a very special day in their heritage, and they marked it with a special celebration called Passover. This celebration had lots of components to it, and it was a feast of God's deliverance. It reminded God's people about how He was in control of them, and they needed to trust in Him. And there were two different elements a part of this special feast that really I wish the people could have understood, because those special elements pointed to Jesus. They pointed to the Messiah. There was an element where they would take this bread. First of all, they would hide it and they'd have to go find it. That's a cool element of the Passover. But once they found it, they would break it and they would share it amongst their friends. That broken bread represented, for centuries before His coming, the Messiah, who ultimately would be broken for us, who would be born and obviously raised and grow to great stature and great power and great authority in the kingdom, but ultimately surrender and sacrifice His life for us. And He was broken on a cross for us. We cannot celebrate Christmas without looking ahead and seeing the cross. There was another element of that supper where they would take what was called the cup of the new covenant. That cup represented the blood of this Christ, this Messiah, whose blood would be shed for us, who He would surrender every drop of blood He had, and it would lay on the ground for us so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have a new life, so that we could have hope again and believe that heaven could be ours. That our sins, our grievances, the things we've done against God could be forgiven and forgotten. This baby is the best gift you and I have ever received, because in Him, life is available. In the gift of Jesus this Christmas, life is available. True life, true hope can come to you. I don't know how many of you have been at Best Buy this week. You put your life in your hands going to Best Buy right now, right? I thought I was going to lose my life multiple times finding a parking spot. Life isn't found there. How many of you have braved the mall? You've gone out and you've shopped. You've made plans with your in-laws. Good luck with that. Life isn't found there. Stress is found there, right? But I'm telling you, in the body of this little child, life is found. Belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God will give you a hope that no employer can take away, that no relational situation can rob you of, that no deep hurt or pain from your past can tarnish. A belief in Jesus Christ, a hope in Him, and a life committed to Him can make Christmas the essence of what real life is all about. So what we would like to do tonight, as we celebrate this Christmas day, as we anticipate one final night before His birth, we would like to share Jesus with you, the gift of Jesus with you. Through the centuries now, since Christ has come and gone, we've called it the Eucharist, we call it communion. And tonight we would like to offer it to all of you who are here tonight, who believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You've come to worship Him in spirit and in truth tonight. And we want to give you the body of Christ through a simple cracker. We want to offer you the lifeblood of Christ through a simple dip into this grape juice. And it is our prayer that as you receive this gift again of this Christ child, and that gift touches your lips, that His love, His life, His hope will fill your spirit tonight. God, be with us tonight. I pray that as we share these elements with our family tonight, with our friends tonight, that You will bless them, that You will fill us with Your life, a life that really only comes from You. God, I pray that as we share again in a special moment of communion, that it will be supernatural, that You'll come and You'll fill us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing to contemplate God coming to this world, that He would come and live with us and be among us. And that's what we've celebrated through this special time of communion tonight, to receive that body and that blood of Christ tonight. It's been a great opportunity to ask ourselves, what do we really do with this baby? What do we really think about Him, and how does He influence our lives? As we close our time together, I wanted to share just a few final words. I wanted to reread these words I believe we've already heard from John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says simply, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." There's an amazing difference between light and dark. I mean, there's a lot of things in Scripture I don't get. I'll be the first to admit there are some things that really caused me to go, "What were you doing there, God? I'd love to know what you were thinking." But I can look at God's world, I can look at what He's created, and I can understand light, and I can understand dark. And you know, the best way that we can really define darkness is the absence of light. Light really is the most full thing that we could ever experience. For without light, you wouldn't be able to get out in the darkness. You wouldn't be able to travel around at night. Without light, you wouldn't be able to see anything. It's amazing what light provides. Scripture says that Christ is the light. His life gives us light to our path. That His light gives us power to be able to see and perceive. That His light gives us warmth. That His light helps us to see truth, to perceive it, to grab a hold of it. Light in our world gives us all those things. If we didn't have the sun, if we didn't have the light that the sun provided, we'd have no power. We would have no ability to sustain life at all. Jesus comes not to be a physical light that we can see, but to be a light in your soul. A light that is either on or off. Because you see tonight, on this Christmas Eve, you're either still walking in darkness or you're walking in light. That isn't this kind of light that we're seeing. This is what I'm talking about, the light of your soul. And I just want to challenge us as we go. And as we get ready to share the light, I want to challenge us to consider your light. John later on writes a letter to the church in general. And he says this, "This is the message that we have heard. I'm just going to boil it down to you. This is what we heard declared to us and we declare to you. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. But if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Do you have the light of Christ burning in your heart tonight? Let me challenge you. Don't lie to yourself about that answer. Don't make Christmas another Christmas of faking that answer. The light that Christ offers will give you hope. It will fill you with all joy and all peace to the point of overflowing. Because nobody likes walking into a dark room. Nobody likes it. And if your soul is dark, there's one answer. The light that Christ can give. Tonight we began our service by lighting the Christ candle. This tall white candle that's pure white, that reminds us of the purity of Christ. And it lights this room. If it were the only candle lit, it would still light this room. Just the simple light of that one flame. But what we do with Jesus is we don't want to hide Him. We don't want to just let Him be alone. We invite Him into our heart. We take His light with us. And it becomes a part of us. Becomes who we are. Has a way of changing us and challenging us to be worthy of the name Christian. Little Christ. Tonight, as we close our service, we want to take His light and we want to share it with those around us. We want to take this light and allow it to come into our heart, not just figuratively with this candle, but I challenge you to allow this light to come in to your heart. Let it come in and share that light with someone else. Dan, the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus. May it light your heart this holiday. Lord, bless you. Let this light come in and change your perspective, even the perspective of a child. Blake, the light of Jesus. Lord, bless you, my friend. Let this light change your holiday proceedings. May Jesus have a place in your heart that illuminates your direction, that gives you hope where you're hopeless. May the light of Jesus give you the belief that He will do something new in your world this year. The light of our Savior, Jesus, for you. May this light challenge us all to love and to be loved. Miles, the light of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for you, my friend. May this light change your family. May this light change your neighborhood. May this light change our community. May this light change our world. May this light show us the way to when we see Him coming again in the clouds for us.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.